We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 16th. It is playoff week, but I want to open the podcast by first saying I'm Rob White, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
Oh, hey, you got your class year right this time. I'm Roy May, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015.
All right. I want to open the podcast today by a special tip of the cap to Jamie Morrison and the Fighting Texas Aggie Women Volleyball Team for cruising through the Nebraska Regional.
What a match. What a couple of matches.
You go from a reverse sweep against Louisville to almost being reverse swept against Nebraska, but you pull it out, you win the game against the number one overall seed. A team that, mind you, I think, what was it, over the course of the past several seasons, I think what they were 99-6.
So they hadn't lost at home in 3 years. They'd only lost, I believe, seven sets all year.
The last set lost at home was in September.
Yeah, it's so absolutely bonkers. Nebraska is just one of those powerhouses for volleyball. And quite frankly, that was almost two matches. You know, when you have a set like that, four set, and to lose it, right? Because it's like a heartbreaker. There's 70 right. some odd points on the board. And the team that loses that set just doesn't, I don't have the stats for it, but it just feels like genuinely they're not the team that ends up winning the fifth set. And to come out and play a hard fought fifth set, beat Nebraska on their own court, and just unbelievable, fun to watch. That four set though, it was crazy because any momentum by either team when they were getting towards the 30s,
yeah,
felt like it was killed by a random service error.
Right.
Megan and I just kept looking at each other and rolling our eyes like, what's happening right now? Like, what's going on? Unbelievable.
Two of the best teams in the country going at it. And on top of that, just the cherry on top of the situation, Texas goes out in their own regional to Wisconsin. So all of a sudden, Final Four set, and we are the lone representative from the Lone Star State. And one of two from the SEC that are going to be in the title matches. So it's about to get very, very intriguing in Kansas City.
Well, I remember when we talked about it earlier in the year when we played Kentucky, we said, I mean, like, that's absolutely the number three team in the country. Yep. So with any luck, because we played Pitt first.
Correct.
But with any luck, we'll get a second shot at Kentucky. So.
Yeah, either them or Wisconsin if you get through Pitt. So things things get really intriguing over the next several weeks. And all eyes, Kansas City in the
wings. It's like we're talking about the playoffs, though. I mean, at some point, all the teams are going to be good.
Exactly. So it's things get very exciting on that front. But, yeah, Jamie, just once again, tip of the cap, incredible job he has done in a very short amount of time here in Aggieland. It's very clear. Well, and I love the fact that people were talking about, I think the funniest thing that came coming around was all these Nebraska fans that are like, Trev Alberts, you SOB, why did you do this to us? It's like, you've had two shots against A&M since he's left, and you've blown both of them in the postseason.
Kind of like the extra gut punch on top of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, cherries on top. It's great and good. I figured we would go ahead and just highlight last week real quick. What an Army-Navy game. Incredibly fun game. I will admit, I was actively pulling for Army even though I picked Navy.
Well, you got to make up some ground, man.
I had to make up some ground. I'm glad I did. Like I said, I'm a little disappointed with the result. But at the back of my head, I was like, oh, well, at least this, kind of a win-win in that sense.
Good football game. The intro was yet again knocked out of the park. I texted a couple of my buddies. I was like, you got to watch this intro, man.
It was awesome.
So, well done. Well fought game. Unfortunately, I had to sing first, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'm a firm believer that if we had a game between the enlisted Army and the enlisted Navy,
could be entertaining. Could be more entertaining.
It'd be violent, that's for sure.
No question about that.
So, but
Man.
here we are, man. Playoff time in Aggieland. That's the first time I've ever been able to say that, right?
Playoff
Playoff
time
time
in
in
Aggieland.
Aggieland. Like, this is a stress test, man. For me, this is what this is. Miami is polished. They like to execute. They're efficient. And we like violence and chaos. And we have Kyle Field, the place that doesn't let you breathe. And I get that Carson Beck, he's been in the SEC, so it's not like this is something new to him. The biggest crowd Miami played, biggest road crowd Miami played against this year, I believe, was like 66,000.
Almost double that now.
I don't know that necessarily affects Carson Beck, but it might affect the rest of the team, right? I mean, it might affect that offensive line, which is going to be, which would be huge. Miami wants the space and rhythm and explosives, and we just want to kind of muddy everything down and create negative plays. Really, the idea is to turn every third down into survival, right? Survival situation for Miami. I think, there's a handful of keys to this game, right? Obviously, the trench line play, keeping them behind the chains is going to be huge. If we can create third and six more often than not, allowing our defense to tee off. We need a great game out of Torian. We need them to, man, if they want to triple to double and triple team cash us out, that's fine. I don't think that the casual fan is going to be like, all we got to do is have a tight end to stay in, help chip, and maybe use a running back. And first of all, that doesn't always work with this guy anyways. He's consensus All-American. He should be, he's a complete freak. He's already first team All-American on two of the All-American like voter team things that have come out.
Right.
So, but first of all, it doesn't always work to double team him, and if it does, there is talent along that line, and there's talent in that linebacking core. We need Torian York to have a good game. We can't be jumping the wrong gaps, which we saw, first half South Carolina, we saw it against Texas, and then offensively, I'm curious about this stuff about Moss. I mean, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to be very curious to see how this goes because it's a weird game where it feels like a strength on strength and weakness on weakness across multiple different position groups in this game. I mean, Carson Beck and Marcell Reed really not too far off from each other in terms of what they've done statistically. I mean, both have 25 touchdowns, both have 10 picks, both either at or very close to 3,000 yards in passing.
I think
Big
Beck's
difference.
like right over it, didn't he? Like 30, like 3025 or something like
Yeah,
that.
72. Very, yeah, he's a hair over that. Obviously, the big difference between the two of them, Marcell can move. So that makes a really interesting dynamic in that game. What I want to see is obviously good decision making on Marcell Reed. I think for our keys, weirdly enough, in this game, I think this becomes a situation where you use the passing game to potentially open up the running game for A&M, if you can be smart about it. It's a tough matchup, and I really do have a tough read on this game.
No, this is, I mean, it's the playoffs, and a 10-7 seed game. Obviously, the 10-7 and the 8-9 are going to be close on paper. They're going to be close when you probably the eye test, even when you look at these teams play. My biggest thing is, my absolute key to the game would be turnovers.
Yes.
Like we do not create them. Miami is overall positive in their turnover margin, I believe. We got to steal one.
Yes.
Like we even if we're just plus one in the game, we have got to create a turnover, just to flip it a little bit. We already have the advantage of having, Kyle Field. We have home field. 12th man is going to be completely insane, like rabid insane. I'm a firm believer of that. I don't care that it's 11 a.m. You can play this game at 9 a.m. and it's still be loud.
Right.
So it's you've got everything in your favor. If you can, like, if I'm Miami, what I want to do is weather the early storm, right?
Right.
Do everything I can to quote unquote, take the crowd out of it. Like, you're never really going to take the 12th man out, but do what I can to minimize the 12th man's effect. And it's really just weathering that initial storm. If I can maybe get an explosive, red zone efficiency. If I get down there and I have to kick a couple of field goals to start the game, that's fine. Put points on the board kind of thing.
Right.
If I'm Texas A&M, like, I want chaos early. Like, I want the 12th man to just absolutely have every reason in the world to be as loud as humanly possible, right? And give them the product. We've always said that the 12th man's loud, but they're a whole nother level when you're playing good defense, right? And so then the question is, with the passing game, are you willing to risk some turnovers to have some explosives, or do you want to keep everything kind of in front to lean more into the turnover margin kind of part of the game?
Right. I think controlling the game in terms of controlling the clock, having the ball, is going to be big in this one. I think we need to absolutely do our part, not only to maintain the ball, but also, as you mentioned, we got to create opportunity, become a ball hawk, strip the ball, do what you got to do to get after it. But yes, create chaos in this matchup. Because if you can take a team in a road environment, even if it has a is even if it is 11 a.m., maybe this is all or nothing.
That just, I tell you what, the time of day doesn't matter
It
for
does not
me.
matter. What's
Not in
going to happen?
California.
Yeah. What's going to have to happen in this game is you simply need to go out there and you need to establish your will against this team. You need to create some chaos. And above all else, just win. Do what you got to
Yeah,
do.
you want to, you're probably going to give up an explosive. You might give up a couple of explosives, but for me, this is almost like watching Rocky, right? So, because the way Rocky, the fights win in Rocky, it's not how it works, right? That's,
Right.
240 pound guys don't stand toe to toe and trade hooks for 12 rounds. That's just not how that works.
15 rounds in the old
Yeah.
movies. I mean, just going at it. And you're like, they
Yeah,
don't.
but if they land a couple of haymakers, we have got to be able to match that, right?
Right.
And we have got to be able to convert in the red zone. That's been kind of one of my biggest bugaboos is getting down there, because on top of that, I mean, how confident are we in kicking?
Well, exactly. And I will, somebody made a really funny comment. They said, if game day, being in town, they send the kid out there to go kick and he nails that thing.
Yeah.
Just give him a jersey.
Straight
Get
to
out
Kyle.
there. Yeah, get
Straight to
inside there,
Kyle.
buddy.
Straight to Kyle. Straight to the dressing room. We get you a uniform. Straight to Kyle.
But they will do it.
Yeah, but and so that's another big part of this game. Again, there's just And that's the fun part about it though, right? Because we're getting to play a team that's really good.
Yeah.
We're not Tulane, we're not Oregon, we're not getting a cakewalk in the first round. Like, we're gonna find out if we use these 2 weeks well. And for me, that's a big thing as far as, how are we gonna utilize the passing game? Are we gonna try for more explosives than normal? Are we just gonna open up the playbook and throw everything at them? Are we going to have our checkdowns? Are we going to keep everything simple and just let our athletes work in space? Which, when we do that, it obviously works because
Right.
KC and Mario are complete freaks. One thing people maybe aren't talking about, you talk about maybe like a sleeper kind of thing that may show up. So much emphasis is on KC and Mario. What about Burkature? What about the big Swede? What about utilizing the tight ends? Because if somehow the game works out to where those tight ends, in the middle of the field, about 12 to 15 yards down, kind of just running in between the seams. If that becomes effective and Miami has to adjust at that point, now you do have KC and Mario to lean on, and you can maybe throw an explosive. Well, I haven't even talked about Ashton Bethel-Rowan. Like, we got ABR as well. So
You
it's
have so many weapons to use in
so
this
many.
game. And I think the key is just going to be making good decisions on Marcel's part, not forcing balls into situations that are potentially turnover savvy, right? We've seen that happen time and time again this season. I mean, he has 10 picks. He could have so many more at this stage in the season with the
Yeah.
amount of contested balls. As they call them, whatever, like turnover potential balls. Balls absolutely should and can be caught, but we luck out and we get another opportunity. We need to limit those opportunities for them. We need to go out there and have easy passes, at least in the early going.
With
If
accuracy, with
yeah,
accuracy.
with accuracy, very important to note. And if they give you the overtop and it's a one-on-one and your guy has the edge, take
Air it out.
advantage of it, sure. But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying don't throw the ball downfield. By all means, do it if it's there.
What you're saying
But
is you don't want to force it.
I don't want to see a situation where you got a guy coming across and he's got a guy tightly behind him and another defender coming in. That's not going to help you. In fact, that is probably a 4-to-1 situation or a 5-to-1 situation that you're not going to catch the ball. At worst, it's probably going to get picked. So you just got to be very smart with your decision making in this situation, which I like to think we at least put in some work on this week, these past
Well,
weeks.
I will say one thing that Marcel has done pretty well over just kind of throughout the year, and it's something that he's he definitely improved on from last year, and it's throwing receivers open. And that's one thing where, in that mid-range to even long-range passing, when you're getting, 20 plus yards down the field, he is able to throw these guys open, throw over coverage. There's obviously there's so much onus on the quarterback, right? But where we have the advantage and where I would like to see that advantage, because we haven't necessarily used it, is the difference between you mentioned it earlier. Marcel can scoot. Carson Beck, I mean, he's not like Tom Brady. I mean, he can move, but that is a distinct advantage in the quarterback running game. And if Marcel just needs to pull it down, pull it down. That's the biggest thing is I don't want him to force. I don't want him to press. Like everything is in front of you. And I saw some Miami talked about like the Miami offensive line is clearly better than the A&M's offensive line. And I'm like, what football are you watching, guy? Yeah, absolute homer take. We were one of the top three offensive lines in the country. That's what the award said, all right? So our offensive line, and they have what's his name, Bane. So Bane's a monster, man. He and Cassius Howell are both monsters. But we've shown like all five of our offensive linemen graded in the top 315. I heard this on Louis yesterday. That means all five, 315, that's the number of people to get drafted. So all five of our guys graded as draftable offensive linemen.
Which is awesome.
That's fantastic. So the ability to somehow limit Bane without having to give him too much attention. That's the other catch, right? Like you can't focus. It's the same on the other side. Like they can't put so much focus on Cassius Howell that they leave other guys running free because those other guys are talented.
The other thing that you did see was an uptick from us in terms of getting a little bit more options in the running game, which is good to see. I would be very curious to see if Le'Veon does go in this game and how much of an impact he does make. Because if he can come in and truly create a just that major X factor into this football game that completely changes the game plan. From Miami's perspective, that would be incredible for us.
I mean, 10 carries would do it for me.
It would be, it'd be big. I mean, that just adds another wrinkle. And you already have, Reuben Owens, who's been playing pretty darn well, I would say. EJ has been improving over the course of the last several games.
The closest thing you have to Moss is probably EJ Smith, just in the sense that like that dude runs hard,
He
right?
does.
Reuben Owens unfortunately does have a tendency to go down on contact pretty easily. Just relative to Moss, right? Then EJ Smith is a bruiser. Like that dude just he runs like he wants to
Exactly.
hit you. He runs angry. So I think there's got to be kind of, and we've seen it all year long, like the rotation of running backs, right? We've seen it all year long, but I think that we really do have to be a little bit more situational with our running backs in the sense of, how we're substituting them and what situations. And realizing, I mean, if we can get if Moss will play, because I mean, he's healthy. He's got to be healthy at this point, right?
It's
So
been
the
3 weeks.
question is he holding out so he doesn't get hurt? Like, I mean, he's practicing. Why would you practice and risk injury if you're not going to play in the game? So I don't know. Maybe it's just gamesmanship from Coach Elko. I mean, maybe that's all it is. And I'm
Could
reading
be.
way too much into this. And I've been known to do that before.
I don't I like I said, I think he plays. And I think what's going to end up happening is at least like my headcanon, what I hope happens. I hope he has an impact on the game. I don't care if he goes for 100 yards. I don't care if he does anything beyond that, but I just hope that he's in the game and creates situations for us that opens up the rest of the offense.
8 to 10 carries, average, five plus yards a carry. That's a good day at the office to compliment everybody else, right?
No question.
I don't care who the lead rusher is in this game as far as A&M's concerned. If it's Marcel Reed, then so be it. Because if it's Marcel Reed, then they're giving it to him. I still think everything goes back to turnover margins. I don't know why I'm so hung on that, but that's something where, and especially in a playoff game, this is because now it's win or go home. This isn't if you lose, you got next week. This is win or go home. And if you can put the onus on Miami at it, in Kyle Field, so you've got that advantage already built, like it's baked in, man. If you can get Miami to press, this game could get away from Miami. But this could go the other way as well. If we start pressing, we've seen what our offense looks like when we press.
Yeah, and that's not going to be beneficial. So I think the keys with Carson Beck, just like it is with most games, you get after him, you create pressure, and he does make mistakes. He has had a number of interceptions throughout this season, some of which were just completely inexcusable, stupid passes. So, I mean, you can create that with Carson Beck with good pressure. And I think just adding that extra little wrinkle is going to make a major impact in this game. I've got full confidence we have the ability to do that. It's just going to be a question of can we do it?
Well, you've got to get home too, and that's a big thing.
Yes.
If you're going to bring pressure, you absolutely have to get home because Miami has a really good wide receiver core led by Malachi Toney, ACC Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and we saw that a couple weeks ago with what we saw with Arch Manning. You got to the guy, you didn't take him down. I think he had one sack in the game, and it was almost not a sack because he got the ball away, but like I said, his backside was down before he threw the ball. I mean, you've got to create that kind of pressure, but you need to get home and get him on the ground.
Yeah, you've got to get home. That's the thing. You've got to get to Carson Beck. This is one where, we're talking about turnovers. What if Cassius Howell gets loose on Carson Beck's backside? One of those where,
Strip sack.
quarterback doesn't see him coming. It's like the worst thing on the planet too, is when you don't know the guy's coming and he just buries you.
Yeah.
Like it's so jarring. And maybe that's how we create the turnovers. Maybe it's not in the secondary or the linebacker core.
Right.
Maybe it's a strip sack in the backfield. I think another important, aspect of what we need to be looking out for is Fletcher, their running back. I mean, he's got almost 900 yards on the year. I don't know how many touchdowns he's got, like seven, six, five, something like that.
He has 10 touchdowns off of 685 rushing yards.
685. Okay, so not huge, but
So
still,
he can score.
we've seen us have problems filling the proper gaps in the run game.
Right.
And if Miami establishes the run, then you're going to run into a problem because their wide receivers are good, and Carson Beck can throw the football.
So, yeah, you got to plug up that running game. You got to plug up that
Exactly.
running game. You've got to create pressure on Carson Beck when that running game is not moving. That's
It's
what
this
you got
is
to
you
do.
want to talk about all time. This is a discipline game for the linebackers. This
It
is
is.
big time discipline. And obviously in the secondary as well, but for me, the biggest part on defense is going to be the linebackers because we can't allow those big chunk running plays that we've been allowing this year. And I get that we are who we are at this point, right? But you've had 2 weeks to prepare for a Miami team. That's a lot of tape to watch, right?
It
That's
is.
a it's a lot of tape to watch and understand, when they're coming out in certain formations, know what you're looking for
Yeah.
and know which gap your responsibility is and stay with it. Don't overextend, don't jump around the wrong gap. So I think because you don't have to spy Carson Beck. He's not a true dual threat.
Right.
You're not spying the guy. So you have the ability to key in a little bit, maybe. Flex them back into space on some zone, their ability to follow and spy the running back, out of the backfield kind of thing. So for me, the biggest key on defense is going to be discipline at the linebacker level. I think our secondary has shown that they're pretty good. And I'll be interested to see, do they send Will Lee wherever Malachi Toney goes, or do we trust the secondary to run our game and run our scheme? But for me, on defense, it's linebacker integrity, linebacker discipline. On offense, you're hard pressed to talk about the key on offense and not say the quarterback. I mean, you could say the offensive line. That'd be the only other thing to really look at, like as far as a key to success on the offensive side of the ball. For me, it's just Marcell Reed. It's decision making by Marcell Reed, because even if the line breaks down, he has the ability to escape, and that's why I put more of the onus on Marcell as opposed to the offensive line. I'm confident in the offensive line, but on those plays where it does break down, Marcell can scoot and he can get out of the pocket. When it comes to Carson Beck, he doesn't have the same escape ability as Marcell. So and we'll get to Miami in a second, but for me, on offense, it's got to be Marcell. This whole game comes down to him, and I know that's all the pressure in the world that the first playoff game ever at Kyle Field is basically on your shoulders. But unless we can establish an insane running game, then it falls into Marcell's hands. That's all there is to it. And the quarterbacks take all the blame and they take all the glory. That's why it's such a high profile position. I mean, it is what it is. Because,
Go ahead.
well, from a running standpoint, we are a little bit plug and play. So like, you're not going to say Reuben Owens is the key to the game or EJ Smith is the key to the game. The running game is obviously important to open up the passing game, but Marcell's decision making, along with his legs, that's I mean, we go as he goes.
Yeah, Marcel Reed in this game is a very interesting mental focus because you have to wonder where his head is at. I know maybe the Heisman push, the Heisman campaign for him largely dies with the Texas loss because obviously he didn't even get an invitation, much less you look down the list, you had four other names that were ahead of him. He wasn't even on the list whenever they were initially announcing. So you have to wonder, does he put that on his shoulders and thinks, okay, I see how this is. Let's go out there and show them what we got. And let's hope that that leads to not trying to go 110%. Just give your full 100% and do a great job. I'm not asking you to go try to go beyond your limits in this game.
Well, I don't think there's any negative to it. I mean, other than him not getting invited to New York, I don't think there's a negative because either he goes, all right, well, fine, and then I'm going to show you why you should have invited me to New York, right? And
Right.
I don't think he's going to press. I don't think he's worried about what the voters think, a week later.
Sure.
I don't think he's that kind of person. Or he's just completely like, dude, Heisman's gone. Like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
And
Like, all
either
I
one of
have.
those, I'm totally fine with. Like I said, it's just not a, just something that doesn't necessarily hold too much real estate, which I'm sure it doesn't. So.
I just don't think it does. I think he's in the ultimate, like the ultimate team player.
Oh yeah.
So I don't think that's probably, by Monday after breakfast, he was probably like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he was probably at that point once he didn't get invited. So, I mean, it's been a while.
Sure.
And if you can't focus on a playoff game at home, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, this is about as big of a game as Kyle Field has ever seen, in terms of just relevancy and push, right? I mean, you go out here, you win a game at Kyle Field, nationally televised football game, 11 a.m. Most of the nation's going to be watching this game. You go out there and you can show off not only the 12th man, even at the time frame, you show off the 12th man, you show off just how good of a program you are. That's a great visual for recruits. That's a great visual for just networks in general. People are going to start making more looks at A&M. And if you get through this game and move on into the next round, regardless of what that result is, let's say you give Ohio State a great game, win or lose. That's a big program boost. And I think overall we've seen that with Mike Elko in year two. And I can't complain
Well,
about that.
I think what you also see is, and it's becoming more and more popular to an extent. We went undefeated up to the last game. All eyes started to come on A&M, even if it was hate watching, because
Yeah.
people are watching the games. And then to have game day, to be able to showcase the 12th man. And this is one where you said there's gonna be a lot of fans watching. It's gonna be all the fans. We're the only one playing. Like, we're the only show in town at 11 a.m., man. And so for me, game day being, the Wild production, which I think it's so cool that they're doing game day like in Oklahoma, and then they're coming to A&M like that. I can't imagine the logistics and the total pain in the butt for that. But to have game day, for a day of college football playoffs, they're only gonna, when it comes to like recapping anything, the only thing they're gonna be recapping is the Auburn OU game. They only have
Oh,
three
baby.
games to focus on. I mean, they'll have a storyline or two in there, about the portal, and I would be willing to bet one of them would be just how many quarterbacks were in the portal, but they're probably going to talk about that on Friday.
Probably.
So Saturday, I mean, it may just be absolutely laser hyper focused on three games, and I can't imagine that they're going to give as much attention to James Madison and Oregon and Tulane and Ole Miss as they will Miami, Texas A&M. Now, I'm sure they'll spend a good bit talking about what had happened in the Auburn OU game, but there's four shows. That's it, and they all got their own time slot.
Alabama,
And
OU.
Alabama
Yeah, I
OU,
was about to say.
the Bama OU game. So they'll talk about that, but there's only so much you can rehash after it's been on SportsCenter the cycle all night. It was on SEC Now cycle. So, I mean, it's going to be such a showcase. It's going to be great. I'm sure the fans. It's going to be insane. Like, it is Tuesday at 11:35, and I feel like I probably ought to go get my grocery shopping done for this weekend. So that's to not deal with all the crowds.
Yeah, no, conversation's about to turn into a madhouse. I'm looking forward to it. I will be in town. We'll see about actually making it to the game. I think the current game plan is I'm gonna go to the cigar lounge over off of university and go watch it there with some folks and hopefully enjoy some celebratory afterwards, watch the next two games. Life will be great and good, but I think regardless of what's about to take place, it is going to be a very exciting weekend in College Station, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, what's funny is the games after us, you know, because the Tulane Ole Miss is the 2:30 slot, and then James Madison Oregon's the night game. And like, I mean, I'll have them on,
Right.
but I'm not going to be glued to my chair watching these games unless the score starts to go sideways in an upset manner.
Which I don't anticipate happening in either match, but that's,
No.
but regardless, it's playoff time. It's time to see what these teams have up their sleeve. I will say, James Madison's social media game, if social media game wins you a football game, they will have a shot.
Same with Tulane.
Oh yeah, no.
But I will say one thing. You talk about having a shot, and because these lines, so you got James Madison, Oregon. That's a 21 point spread. Ole Miss is 17.5 points. I mean, these games are not projected to be close, but these are the games where a Tulane or a James Madison has like nine trick plays dialed up,
Yeah, and
and
then nothing to lose at
they're
all.
throw everything at the wall and see what sticks,
Yeah.
right? And so, if nothing else, the first quarter of these games might be exciting. Yeah, maybe. I'm
Right.
trying to sell two games that combined are 38 points in spread. So I don't know. You know what? I'm not TNT's hype, man. Those games are gonna suck. I'll
Yeah.
have them on, but I mean, I might even like turn Christmas music on over them.
Right.
But yeah. So just going back to Miami real quick.
Sure.
You know, if I'm Miami. Offensively, like I said, I just want to weather the storm through the first quarter. If I can get in the red zone or I can get close, kick field goals, right? Miami is known for always having good kickers, so I'm sure they have another good one this year. And then defensively, if I'm Miami, I'm doing everything I can just to limit explosive plays in the first quarter and a half. Again, it's the same thing. If I'm Miami, my biggest thing is playing maybe even a little conservative, but methodical, right? Conservative but methodical. Just move the chains, move the ball down the field. On defense, keep everything in front of you. Don't let them hit the big splash play over top. And just see if you can establish a good running game that will continue to move the chains. Let Carson Beck throw short pass routes. Don't give up a turnover in the first quarter. Don't throw a stupid interception. Which even throwing, short routes, you throw it high, it comes off his hands. I mean, you never know. Or if the defense had, this is something they clued in on tape so much, they know exactly where this guy's going with the ball kind of thing. And I'm just doing everything I can to keep moving the chains, and then on defense, keep it in front of me, limit A&M to field goals, just kind of weather the storm kind of thing. See if I can get the 12th man a little, ratchet it down just a touch. But even then, at any point in the game, if you turn the ball over or you go consecutive three and outs, like you have brought the wrath of the 12th man on you. And look, I get that these players are built to play in big environments, but a lot of these guys haven't.
Well, all you have to do is look at what happened in that South Carolina game. I mean, even in the stretch when we were struggling there at the second end of the second half, we get a pick in that game, and the energy of the building immediately changed. Granted, it immediately gets sucked out because we missed the freaking field goal, but you feel the ebb and the flow. I mean, the entire second half of the game was just like this rising tide of growth of energy from the 12th man. It's only going to take a play or two here and there to get this team right back where they need to be if they find themselves in a less than advantageous position. So you just got to go out there and take advantage of those opportunities on the A&M side of the ball. And if you are Miami, for the love of all that is holy, don't give them an excuse to get loud.
Yeah, and I'll play a little devil's advocate. What's the identity of A&M's team? Like, do we know? I mean, because we haven't seen a full game, right? We haven't seen four quarters of Texas A&M football. And if you don't know what your identity is, I mean, is that a team that can win a championship? But flip side
Right.
of the coin, we've seen this team play and win in all kinds of different ways.
Right.
So, I mean, is that, are we the chaotic, scrappy team that knows that we can win in a myriad of ways? We can win on the road. We can win at home. We can win when we're behind. We can win with run game. We can throw. We can be explosive.
No.
So, I mean, you would say that if you don't have an identity, you're really not a team that can win a national championship. But then you could also, I mean, you can counter that with the fact that, man, I don't, I mean, this team could, I mean, at any given day, they could beat anybody because you don't know what you're getting. So while that's not a
Yeah.
positive, like overall, it doesn't seem like a positive to me. Like it's something you can hang your hat on, though.
You would like to see this team come out and compete for four straight quarters, do their job, and which win the game without even having to think about it. That would be obviously just the best possible situation. But
A
as
man can dream.
a man could dream, but it's also possible that this team could continue to move forward. And maybe you only get three full quarters of what you would call excellent football out of Texas A&M, but that could still be enough to win games. We've seen that on more than one occasion. So I don't know what to make of that team on that front, but I like to hope that we will see at least flavors of that this weekend, an indication that these guys put it together, they understand the job that has been laid out in front of them, and the expectation. It's four games. You have four games, realistically, if you can do what you need to do starting this weekend. You take care of your business against Miami. You take care of your business against Ohio State. In all likelihood, you take care of your business against Georgia. And then it's just a crapshoot on who's on the other side of the bracket. Obviously, everybody's going to like Indiana, but you have to look at teams like Oregon. You have to look at teams like Texas Tech. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to have a shot at this. And if you want to be the team that's having the best shot, you got to be playing the best ball at the best possible time. And you got to pray that you flush whatever skeletons you had against Texas, establish yourself as the program that you know you are and the team that you are. Go out there and take care of business this weekend and start down that road.
And again, it's the old take one game at a time kind of thing. Not that that matters to fans. I don't know. I'll never understand why they say, "Hey, man, you guys need to stay focused." Like, why do I need to stay focused? What are you talking about?
Doesn't
Like, if
matter.
we're relying on me to move the chains, like this game is lost.
That's all.
But
This ain't Hank Hill sitting up in, Tom Middleton's box making a call for Nebraska. Like, that's not what's going on here. Like, we're not the ones making the calls, people. We just have
But
to
I
go
will
out there and
say
do it.
for those going to the game, like you can affect it. You can affect it.
Absolutely.
And everybody in the 12th man knows that. You don't ever have to like do a hype video for the 12th man to make sure that they're ready for a football game, especially one of this magnitude, which to me is the biggest football game ever played at Kyle Field.
No question. I think it is.
This biggest football game played in Texas A&M football's history at Kyle Field. And just what an opportunity, to be in the 12th man, get another game, right? It's like to get one more game of the year, squeeze a little bit of that last juice out of it before it doesn't matter if you win or lose, you're not going to be at home anymore, right?
And
So it's just,
good on them for giving the students $25 tickets.
yeah,
Amazing.
absolutely.
Load
My
them in
daughter,
there.
like I was, like I'm so excited for my daughter for a playoff game. I text her, I was like, "Hey, did you pull your ticket? I want to make sure you pull."
I mean, if I was in her position, I mean, I would be so excited right now. I mean, how could you not be? And your team is not just relevant, it nationally relevant with an opportunity to go out and win a national title if you can take care of your business, and it all starts this weekend. So that and at Kyle Field.
Yeah, and it's
Love
one
it.
of it's realistically it's one of 10 teams left that have an oppor that have a chance at winning a national championship. Like, sorry to Tulane, sorry to James Madison. The reality is, Cinderella runs in college basketball are one thing. Cinderella runs in college football, it's basically unheard of. I will say though, interesting thing got brought up. And we talked about this weeks back. Would you rather have the bye or would you rather play? I mean, from a fan standpoint, obviously you want to play, right? I mean, you want
And
to.
I would rather be playing a team like Tulane or JMU. Sure. No
Well,
question.
yeah.
But even so, I think you playing Miami, like, that gives you maybe a little bit of momentum heading to that next round. While Ohio State is, once again, they're also sitting on a loss at this
And
point,
that's
right?
an interesting way to look at it. Realistically, what can Ole Miss and Oregon get out of beating teams that they're supposed to beat like a drum?
I mean, they already beat Tulane earlier this season by multi score at
Yeah,
home.
five
Like,
touchdowns, wasn't it? Like they just smoked them.
right. Like, they're not gaining anything out of that win, unless obviously Tulane comes out and gives them
Punches them
something we
out.
didn't see. Yeah, but
Yeah, same with Oregon. I mean, realistically, what are you going to gain by playing James Madison? And I understand like you want a playoff game, but how much momentum do you have because you beat James Madison? Nobody nationally is going to give you any props for it.
no.
Like the only thing that's going to happen is if you don't cover the spread, like if you're not close to cover that, like if these games are tight, like the only thing that could come out of this is negative. If
Right.
I'm Ole Miss or Oregon. Now, I'd rather be that team just because I'd rather be playing the lesser opponents, right?
Sure, of
But
course. I mean,
But I mean, but you get to play, so you have the momentum of playing, and you're coming off a win. Outside of that, though, dude, you're supposed to be James Madison by 21 points. If you only beat him by 7, people are going to be like, "Wow, is James Madison worth a crap, or did we miss, did we misseed Oregon?" So
which
the Bama OU, the Miami Texas A&M games are going to be highly contested. Everybody's eyes on the game, kind of thing. And beating Miami, like that gives you that gives you a lot of momentum heading into your next game. Beating OU or beating OU or beating Bama, it's a lot of momentum heading into your next game. And
yep.
like you said, when you look at the bracket, what is it? Ohio State sitting on a loss.
So where are they at mentally right now?
But realistically, especially Ohio State, who's been here before, right?
Right.
Obviously, they
Yeah.
want want it all. For the teams that have been here before, I don't think it necessarily matters with the rust. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But man, I'm glad we're playing this week because I think playing my thinking playing my if you can beat Miami, like
It's a
how
good
good are you?
dress. It's a good dress rehearsal, right? I mean, if you beat Miami, it's a great dress rehearsal to get ready for that Ohio State game, which, mind you, another important factor here is in Texas. Like, we're going to be playing at the Cotton Bowl if we win this game. So you're
But
talking,
that's
that makes a difference, I think. I think there'll be plenty of Aggies in the building. I think there'll be, I know there's plenty of Ohio State people live there and they always travel well. But the fact is, I like the fact that A&M's going to be taking care of their business there. And then they don't have to travel far. It's not like they're having to go on a haul to go do this next game.
Well, I wouldn't call Miami a dress rehearsal by any means.
All right, that's
This
you.
is like the first showing, right? This is like the debut showing on Broadway. It's the first night,
Sure.
trying to see if this thing is going to go on a run, right? Like, how's the turnout? How did things go, right? Did
Well,
anybody
you know
screw
what? I won't argue with you on this, but I'm like, well, we know how the crowd's gonna be. Crowd's gonna be amazing. I think what I mean by the dress rehearsal is like just getting prepped for that game. Obviously, you take care of your business in this one. You gotta like your shot in the next one.
Well, when I say turnout, I mean like how did we turn out? Like
I
how did
know.
we
I
like
know.
how did the cast show up? I'm not worried
I
about
know.
attendance is always packed to the gills on the first night. Everybody's trying to figure out if they want to hate it or not. But heading into like let's just say that we beat Miami. Ohio State won the national championship in the Cotton Bowl last year.
Right.
So it's like they know where the locker rooms are, like they have familiarity with it. So
Well,
I don't think that's I don't think
how
it's as
often have
big
we
as
played
that.
in that building and won? Granted, it was against Arkansas, but we win in that building.
But it's for me it's
It's a different energy. You're right.
this is a big game, man. I
It
mean,
is.
this is just this is such a big game. I can't put enough emphasis on the importance of this game relative to Texas A&M football.
It is. It's a huge game.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am
Like, well,
too.
I've given you all my keys to the game.
Yep. So, shall we just jump into picks? Let's go and do that.
So I've got the four playoff brackets and I got a bowl game. That way it's still an odd number of games, so we don't, there's somebody's gonna make up ground possibly, kind of
Yeah.
thing.
All right. Which bowl do we have this week then?
The only one that I could find that was looked like it was Division One and interesting. So this is the Gasparilla Bowl. It's got Memphis and NC State, and it's actually a tight line. It is the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Where the hell is that even played? Tampa, Florida.
Tampa.
Oh, that'll be 76 degrees. That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, so Memphis running back is close to 900 yards. He's got 8 touchdowns on the year. It looks like just looking at stats, NC State relies more on passing. NC State's 7-5. Memphis is 8-4. NC State is actually favored by 4.5 in this game. So I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go chalk and just go with NC State.
Okay. Yeah, matchup predictors really, really liking Memphis in this game, but I feel you there. I'm gonna go ahead and go with the pack,
You're gonna Wolfpack, all right.
Wolfpack. There, not to mention Memphis is coming off 3-game losing streak. You know, they just got smoked by Tulane, Eastern Carolina, and Navy.
Yeah, where are their heads? I mean, they blew it. They
Yeah,
just collapsed.
absolutely blew it down the stretch. You got to wonder where they're at mentally. And NC State coming off of a big rivalry win over in UNC. Granted. That doesn't
Yeah.
mean much this year, but yeah, you want it.
The fight and Bill Belichick's.
Right.
Just for me, Memphis being on a 3-game slide, I mean, look back, they were 8-1. If they had won out and won their conference,
They'd be
are
in,
they in the, you know, are they in it?
yeah, they could
So
potentially be in Tulane's position.
I can't imagine NC State gives a crap. So, or excuse me, I can't imagine Memphis gives a crap at this point. So that's why I went with NC State.
Fair enough.
All right. Because the spreads are so big, we're going to pick these two on the spread.
All right.
All right. And we're going to pick them on what I see the spread at right now, on ESPN. So we've got James Madison. This is Saturday night, 6 p.m. Is that 6 p.m. East? 6 p.m. local here, or 6:30 local to us.
So
That's
4:30.
4:30 for them. So like an afternoon evening game. Oregon is favored. Number 12, James Madison at number 5, Oregon. Oregon is favored by 21 points over James Madison.
Yeah, and it's hard not to look at the stats and wonder why. I mean, they've done very well throughout the course of the season. They rebounded nicely after that Indiana loss, which, tight game, but has done their job on down the stretch to win the games they need to win the games. As far as the spread in this one, you know what? I'll go ahead and pick Oregon on spread. I legitimately think that they will probably do well in that game.
Well, and they're going to show, and Oregon's one of those programs, like they'll be happy to show everybody why they're the 5 seed, right?
Right.
Yeah, I've got Oregon covering the spread in this one. I don't think just it just man, sorry, it's James Madison. Sorry, I mean, congratulations on making the playoffs, kind of thing. All right, so next one, this is the 2:30 local to us slot. So let's see here. It's number 11 Tulane at number 6 Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 17.5 point favorites. How much did they beat them by earlier in the year?
35 points.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns. Yeah. So they beat them by 35 earlier in the year. I'd be curious what the spread was in that game at the time,
Let me find out. Let me go look.
but I've got a hard time thinking that Ole Miss isn't. I don't see. That's the thing, though. I don't know where Ole Miss is at right now. I mean, they've got their offensive coordinator back, so I guess, all's well that ends well for them. And that's still like the weirdest situation in the world for me. If I'm Ole Miss, I'm telling them to cram it. It's, Tulane's a fun pick. They're 11-2, Ole Miss 11-1. 17.5. But you look back, and I mean, it was 35. I mean, they beat them like 35.
Yeah, it was a pretty dominating win on their part.
Yeah,
Chandler was excellent in that game. He threw for 300 yards, and then he also rushed for over 100.
in what world has Tulane figured out Ole Miss? And I understand, like, it's hard to beat a team twice, but, like, maybe it's just hard to cover the spread twice.
Yeah, it might be, but like I said, 17 and a half, and you're going off of a team that just put up 35 on you. So, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and probably lean Ole Miss in this game because they've proven. I mean, if your OC's back, you know that he understands how to make this offense click and do their job. So, I think that'll be.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with the OC back. Like, I can't imagine Tulane can keep this close. So yeah, I've got Ole Miss covering at 17.5. All right, let's go to number 9, Bama at Oklahoma. So this is the Friday night game. We get Friday Night Lights in Norman.
Oh, yeah.
7 o'clock on ABC. Bama is a 1.5 point favorite. So this one is supposed to be real tight. I mean, it's the 8 and 9. It should be tight, right? Obviously, this should be the tightest spread of the four of them, quite frankly. So let's see here. Got Ty Simpson, obviously, not playing as well on the back end of the season, quite frankly.
He has no.
He is not. The leading rusher between the two of these is Miller from Alabama. 123 carries for not quite 500 yards. So
Yeah,
that's
running game has very much not been a factor for Alabama this year.
Alabama can't run the ball.
No, they haven't done it much all year.
And then leading receiver Satania from OU, 65 catches, 950 yards, give or take, 7 touchdowns. I have not been impressed with Alabama down the stretch. They just got smoked by Georgia, and they looked bad doing it, man. It wasn't like there were a bunch of really bad breaks or bad calls. Like, Georgia just kind of went out there and imposed their will on Alabama in that game. And man, this is in Norman. I know Bama's favored, and we're just picking, outright on this one, obviously.
Right.
Bama knows how to be in the postseason, but they can't run the ball.
So the question then becomes, where's Oklahoma at mentally? You know, do they understand their big thing in that Alabama game previous, if you watch that game, it came down to turnovers, which Oklahoma had not enforced a lot of, but they were able to do so against Alabama. And not only, you get a pick six, but they were constantly stripping balls. So I think it's going to come down to Alabama in terms of their ball security in this game. If they can secure the ball, they have a good shot at winning this game because Oklahoma has no offense to speak of. Regardless, they have struggled offensively, especially down the stretch. I mean, they entirely rely on that defense. So I just don't know what's going to happen there. Roy just disappeared for a quick second. I don't know what happened.
The heck just happened? Now, I'm trying to look up what was the score of that game?
23-21, Oklahoma.
Okay. And that's my biggest thing is, you talk about all the turnovers that they forced, and really just ball security in general.
Yeah.
And they had a pick six. So
Yeah.
they didn't outscore Alabama offensively.
No, they really didn't. And that's something to keep in mind. Like, if you go off of chalk, I mean, just the stuff on paper, Alabama absolutely should have won that game. I mean, they converted their fourth down conversions. They had the better time possession, had almost double their offensive yardage. The biggest issue was turnovers. If Alabama secures those turnovers, I think they win the game. And I think they do it this time, so I'm going to pick Alabama.
Yeah, I got Bama as well.
I think that's largely what it came down to, was just the fact that Oklahoma was able to force turnovers. And that
It's one of
was
those
it was
weird
huge in
games.
that game.
Just one of those weird games where you
It
just, for
was.
some reason, nobody can hold on to the football. Yeah, it
Yeah,
happens.
it's a Norman, but I don't think that's going to affect Alabama that much. I think it'll be a should be a pretty competitive game. But I think Alabama wins.
Yeah, it should be a tight one. I'm leaning Bama. I know being a Norman helps,
Oh,
but
sure.
like you said, if Bama just cleans it up, I mean,
Yeah, and if you assume
oh.
3.5 is what gives you your home field advantage, then yeah, I mean you're talking Alabama's outright 4-point favorite.
Four, five, yeah, somewhere in
Yeah.
there. All right, number 10, Miami at Kyle Field. We are the 11 a.m. kickoff, and I don't care. And 3-point favorites. So this is this. So they're basically saying this is a coin toss. And we
Right.
talked about keys to the game. For me, offensively, it's Marcel. It's his decision making, and that includes pulling the ball down and running. It's not just his passing decision making, but it's pulling the ball down and running.
Yeah.
Defensively, for me, it's linebacker discipline, like to a T. Like that's it's just it's got to be there.
Yeah. Got to protect those running lanes, right? You need to be able to fill those gaps, take good angles. Don't allow the big run. Don't allow the turnovers. Create turnovers, create chaos. And above all else, we need great decision making out of Marcel Reed. Moments when you know you need to tuck it. Moments when you know you need to throw it away, moments where you know you have the opportunity and take it. So I think if those three things come out from Marcel Reed in this game, I'm going to go ahead and pick A&M, but those are the things that are going to need to happen for A&M to win this football game.
Win the turnover battle, win the game. That's where I'm at with this one. So I've got the Ags. There's no way I was going to pick Miami. Come on, guys. This is a red ass podcast.
Indeed.
But I think it'll be a fun game. If we can get to plus two in the turnover margin, I think we can run away with it.
I think that'll be big, big,
If
big,
we
big for us.
can get to plus one, I think we win.
Yeah,
So
so we'll keep a big watch on this game. Obviously, we're both really excited for it. Yeah, it's playoff time in Texas.
I know.
Somebody
That's
queue up just got paid
insane.
by ZZ Top. We're rocking and rolling, baby. It's a
Nice.
party time in Texas.
All right, we got questions.
We had a few. We did not have our boy Ghost join us this week. That's okay. I'm sure we'll try to get him on. Maybe, you know what would be kind of fun? Maybe like an off-season podcast. We get him in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that could be kind of entertaining.
I don't know. He said he's in town for 21 days. We might track him down for next week.
Yeah, hell, we might. We'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on him. And for those who don't follow Ghost, you really should. He's a very solid.
Ghost of Texas football. He's one of the good Texas guys to follow. He is.
He's high levels of entertainment. I I won't confirm this. I'm not going to say that. I think he's a pocket closeted A&M homer in a slight way, because he does, or he's just a truly smart and objective Texas fan.
No, he's just objective. Yeah.
And
Like smart.
I love that for him.
Yeah, smart and objective.
Yeah, so we definitely want to get him on for that. All right, so Jonna did ask, so what this is referring to one of our talking points we talked about, but best chicken place in Bryan College Station.
Oh, there's a million of them.
What's your favorite?
Don't really go out for chicken. I mean, probably the one I do the most is KFC just because it's the closest to my house. We talking chicken strips, we talking chicken wings, like what are we talking about? I mean, if it's
I
stuffed up.
think we're probably talking strips, just because that's what College Station was kind of built on, with the whole thought process, lanes and everything else. Like, so I'd be curious
Well,
to
the
hear
great
what you're.
Lane's Cane's debate, yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So, but just in general, like your favorite chicken strips.
If I'm going out for chicken strips, I'm probably going to Pluckers because
Pluckers.
they're huge.
They are
Yeah.
huge.
And they, toss them in any sauce. Yeah, they're fantastic. Most frequent would be Wings and More again, proximity. And then if you're making me draw a line in the sand between Lanes and Canes, it's Lanes.
And see, for me, it would have been Lane's had it been what Lane's was before they got bought out. Because every time I've been to a Lane's now, it's like the chicken's dry. I don't like the oil they cook the damn, the jam fries in. That just, I mean, the only thing that's maintained about Lane's that I enjoyed was the toast. And that's not saying much.
Man,
So,
I'm not the old man yelling at clouds today.
no, Lane's, I do enjoy Lane's. It's just, I mean, I was a frequent Lane's eater in my early days, which is when I put on a lot of weight. But it's okay. It's part of life. I haven't gone as much. I literally went for the first time in about a year. I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it was like, okay, it's the same
I
crap y'all
haven't
been
been
serving.
to either in no life, probably at least 5 years.
I end
Like,
up
so for
going.
me, picking lanes is out of nostalgia.
Well, and that's fair. I end up going to Cane's more often just because I see it more on the road whenever we're running around. Like, hey, let's go get some chicken. All right, let's go get some chicken. But if I had to pick a spot here in town, it's Wings and More without question. I like Wings and More. I like their tenders. I like the spices and the seasonings that they use on it. The fries, I mean, curly fries, come on. Once again, the one thing that struggles on that front is their toast. But if you could give me Lane's toast plus Wings and More on the fries and the tenders, ooh, I'd be in a happy place right there.
You're a weird man.
You're just now. We've been on this podcast for 5 years, 6 years, 5 years. You're just now figuring this out.
Think I've ever rated a joint by its toast.
Oh, I like bread, man. I've always liked bread. Speaking of
Yeah.
bread, though, for the second question, what's the best Christmas baked good? Thinking about getting my boogie mixer out during the Christmas break. So that's also from John.
Well, let me think. I'm a big peanut blossom guy. You know the peanut butter cookies with the Hershey Kiss on it?
Yeah, those are
Huge
nice.
peanut blossom guy.
Yeah.
Spritz are elite just because of their consistency for Christmas time. My neighbor makes the little Chex Mix, but she makes it with like this really rich white, and I'm not a big white chocolate fan, but it's almost, I don't even think it's white chocolate. It might be part of it, but it almost has like this Shipley's glaze taste to it. It is unbelievable. I'm not a huge sweets guy, but yeah, I'd probably go like peanut blossoms first. Those are elite.
So the two that immediately come to mind, obviously I love just a good old fashioned, like real gooey sugar cookie around this time of
Oh,
year.
yeah.
Excellent. Nice, warm. Those are bomb. Secondly, this is one of my mother's specialties. Take the name with a grain of salt. They're excellent. They're called Frosted Reindeer Turds. Okay, so the way it works is you roll up little balls of chocolate, and then you dip them in with a little bit of sugar, a little bit of that powdered sugar on there, and you put it all into this nice little deal, and you just take one out. It looks like kind of, like a turd that's been sitting out in the air for too long. But they taste amazing because it's chocolate and powdered sugar. Like, what are you doing?
I will say I did make some cookies. Well, they kind of been in my rotation the last few years. They're like, what are they called? They're like double chocolate crinkle cookies. And when they,
Mm.
Yeah, when they bake, they kind of they like crack, they like cracks through them, and then you just coat them with powdered sugar. Double chocolate, man, double chocolate chip cookies. Shh, come on.
Yeah. If I had to just I'm just throw one extra out there because I was thinking about it. We went to BJ's the other day. Oh, just a good Pizookie goes a long way for me. I like a good Pizookie.
Yeah, I think of baking in terms of like baking to give away cookies. Like
Right.
I don't do a lot of baking. Like I bake for about 3 days out of the
So yeah, good solid Christmas time question on that front. And good chicken question on that front. So no complaints
year.
there.
Look, I spanned the spectrum on that one, didn't
Yep, lots of food. Which I mean, this is kind of the year time of year for food, pretty
I
much
know.
Thanksgiving on.
I know. Well, here's another thing. Like, man, I got another game day to figure out what I'm gonna cook.
Right.
I know. So I don't know. I'm a little bit up in the air. I think I might just straight up do a brisket and be done with it.
Well, let's hope we have another one after that.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, look, I'm not complaining about it. Let's go. Like, keep making me cook.
Yes. Come on, Ags, let the man cook.
See? There you go.
Let the man cook. All right. Be sure to check us out on the Red Ass Podcast, on our socials, of course. We got ourselves on Twitter. We got ourselves on Instagram. Be sure to follow Roy May on there at RoyMay15 on Twitter, as well as Junior on Instagram. I'm Rob the Slapper on both. So be sure to give us a follow, like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell so you know when we are uploading. It's typically on Tuesdays in the afternoon, so feel free to just keep an eye out for that. Yeah, exciting times. It is playoff time in Texas, not just for football, but also volleyball. There's so much to be excited about right now. Let's just keep this momentum going. Let's get through this next week, man. I'm so
Two
pumped.
more volleyball matches.
Two more
Two.
volleyball matches. Two more.
I'd like to play them both.
Let's play them both. I want two more volleyball matches. I want four football games. Let's just rock and roll it, man.
Yeah, and then man, you give me two successful volleyball matches and four successful football games, I'll shut up.
But
If we win the national championship in volleyball and football, I will shave my head on the podcast.
absolute cinema, and you heard it here first. Roy is gonna shave his head if we end up winning both of these. So just things to think about, things to keep in mind. I may just occasionally pop up a razor if things continue to rock and roll. So I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever-living, ever-loving compound complex hell out of Miami. Beat the hell out of Pitt. Beat the hell out of Wisconsin. Beat the hell out of freaking Kentucky. I don't care who. Beat the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, have great fun. If you're going, have a blast at Kyle. You shouldn't have a voice come Saturday night. Go to game day if you can. Weather should be great. Couldn't be better, man.
We will see you guys next time. Dig 'em.
Jacob.